Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast, brought to you by BerlinBrigade.com. And as always, I'm your host, Dave Guerra, and I'm happy that you could join me today. And a big thanks to the United States Army Europe Band and Soldiers Chorus for the intro music. It's called Auf Wiedersehen. As always, I do hope that you will find this podcast series a lot of fun, informative, and with a little luck, bring back some of those awesome memories of your time in Berlin. As well as for those that did not serve in Berlin, we hope you gain a better and deeper understanding of what we went through during our time in Berlin. Seeing as this is our truly first full-fledged episode, let's form up by platoons and let's get this thing started. As always, we're going to divide this podcast into three segments. We're going to talk about the website, you know, updates, stats, numbers, issues, and anything that has arisen since the last podcast. The second segment is strictly for special announcements like reunions, meetings, somebody's out looking for information, stuff like that. That's what that second segment's all about. And the third segment is the special guest interview. So, as I said, let's form up and dive right in. This show is being recorded on Sunday, February 17, 2008. As always, I would like to thank everyone for visiting the BerlinBrigade.com website and listening to this podcast. The recent update to the registry database puts us over 2,800 names. That's right. That's a lot of names. So a great big thanks to Norbert Johnson, former member of HHC 6 of the 502nd, for being number 2,800. That is definitely, like I said, a lot of vets, but I know it's not all. I mean, I get emails all the time saying, hey, they didn't know that the BerlinBrigade.com existed, and now that they know, they're going to tell everybody. So it's cool. So we know that there's still plenty of other vets out there that have not yet registered. If you know them, if you pass the word along, say, hey, check out BerlinBrigade.com. So again, let's get them on there. Let's get everybody, make everybody aware of what's going on. One administrative note I do have, if you want to change your email address on the registry, please fill out the online registry form. In the comments section, please write change of address. This will make everything a lot easier, especially when it comes time to process. So again, just use the registry, you know, kind of like you're re-registering, but in the comments section, just write change of address. It's all good. Well, you know, might as well just transition into another administrative notes. For members of the band, please put your what instrument you played in the comment section. That'd be greatly appreciated. That ends the announcements for the for this time. This is the part of the podcast for the special announcements. The special announcements can range from, you know, you're having a reunion, or you just want to get some guys together, or you want to find some old buddies. Drop me a note. I'll put it on this podcast, and we'll put it in this section here. Additionally, if you find yourself, you're wanting to get in contact with some vets, again, drop us a note. We've put vets in touch with, let's see, college students, high school students. We've put them in touch with newspaper reporters. Different things over the years have come up, and the interest and the word about Berlin comes up. So I get an email that says, hey, I'm looking for somebody that served during this time. Or I look for somebody who did this specifically in Berlin, and I'll put them in contact with those individuals, and hopefully some good stuff happens there. Well, that's the case. This is there's only one special announcement this time, and this is for those veterans of Berlin, of the brigade, that find themselves still living in Berlin. Okay, this is for you. If you still live in Berlin, there is a freelance reporter based out of London that will be traveling to Berlin in the near future and would like to interview any veteran that is currently there. So, vets, drop me an email. Let me know that you're interested in meeting with the reporter. I'm more than sure it has to deal with, well, your time in Berlin and I guess what's going on there now and what went on when you were there in the official U.S. Army capacity. So drop me an email, podcast@BerlinBrigade.com, and I will get you in touch with the reporter. I'm trying to get a little bit more information that I can pass along to you, but right now I'm waiting on a couple of emails to come back to me. So in that case, that pretty much is it for the announcements for this time. Now it's time for the next segment, and that is the special guest interview, and we do have one this time. Today we are privileged to have as our very first guest on the Berlin Brigade podcast, former commanding general of the Berlin Brigade, then Brigadier General Jack D. Woodall, who served as the commanding general of the Berlin Brigade from June 1986 to August 1987, when he departed as Major General to Frankfurt as the Deputy Commanding General of 5th Corps. Sir, I welcome you.
Yeah, thank you, and it's good to hear from you. I think you're doing a great job here with this website, and I want to say hello also to all those former soldiers of the Berlin Brigade and those that served in Berlin.
Well, we thank you, sir, and I guarantee you everybody's going to be excited to hear from you once they listen to the podcast. So again, thank you for taking some time out of your busy Saturday afternoon to join us here. Let's just get right into it, sir. Basically, what have you been up to?
Well, since I left Berlin?
Yes, sir.
I, you know, as you mentioned, I went down to Frankfurt, and then from there went on over to Korea, where I was fortunate to be the commanding general of the 2nd Infantry Division, and also was there during the Seoul Olympics. So I got double duty there, if you will. From there went on to Japan, served as the commanding general of U.S. Army Japan in 9th Corps, and that's where I retired from Japan in 1992. Then went back to my home in Florida, worked in a manufacturing company for a little while, then moved up to Pennsylvania, where I was with MBNA, which was a big credit card company, for some years.
So it's busy, and then now, so you're just enjoying life now?
Well, yes, enjoying life as I always have, but in addition to that, we're serving on a board of a nonprofit. And I'm also the president of the 2nd Division Association, so I spend a lot of time on that. And then we volunteer at the Ronald McDonald House of Delaware.
Wow. So you're staying busy, definitely.
Sure.
Keeping
it's
a,
good. You got to give back. You know, you got so much during your lifetime, you got to give back a little bit.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. So basically, you're still keeping that commanding general schedule in.
Yeah, that's right. Not so much the social side of it, but the rest of it, you're right.
Yeah, so you're still out there running that PT and doing those road marches, or that's done with?
Well, we still do a little bit of that.
Oh, okay.
Not as much as I was, but still keeping at it.
Oh, yeah, definitely have to, without a doubt.
Trying to keep fit anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If we keep fit, we throw less of them.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, let's press on. Got several couple of other questions I'd like to ask. Well, first of all, you know, what were your initial thoughts when you first, well, when you heard orders, you got your orders that you were going to Berlin?
Well, I tell you, I was just delighted. You know, we had been overseas in Italy for 2 years and then came back and were at Fort Carson, Colorado, where I was the assistant division commander of the 4th Infantry. And then I got orders for Berlin and we're delighted to going back to Germany. And the Berlin Brigade, you know, had such a great reputation. And I thought, wow, how in the world were we selected to for this assignment? And so it was a big thrill.
You're in Berlin, and upon hitting the ground, most of us either flew in or took the train in. But when we got there, you know, the first thing we see is other soldiers, other troops, and then eventually we start hitting the local grounds and we start meeting the Berliners and the city and we get to know it. What were your overall impressions of, well, first of all, the soldiers in your command and then, of course, the citizens of Berlin and the town itself?
I'll tell you, the soldiers are just superb. You know, everyone claimed that they were handpicked, but I'll tell you, we got everyone there, but the confidence of those soldiers is what was really amazing. It was passed down to them, you know, shortly after they arrived. It seemed like the non-commissioned officers were probably really responsible for this, but they just sort of imbued that Berlin spirit in each one of the soldiers. And I can tell you, I could always tell when there was a new soldier and one who had been there for a couple of weeks, because when I'd go up and talk to them, the ones that were new would sort of hold back a little bit, but those that had been there any time at all would look you right in the eye, would respond very positively, and you just knew that they were there representing their country. So it was super. And I guess I can say somewhat the same thing for the Berliners as well. And Berlin, exciting city. And as you probably recall, we had the 750th birthday of Berlin during that year. And all three leaders from the countries visited there. And President Reagan came during that time, and that's when he gave his big speech at the Brandenburg Gate and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Also, when you know you go over to the east, it was exciting. It showed the contrast between freedom and democracy and communism. And I recall one time we had a defector that came over, and he was from East Germany. And I asked him, First of all, we took him to one of the stores downtown and got him some clothes because he came over with just a pair of sweatpants. He'd swum the canal and all. And I asked him why he did it, and he said for freedom. And I asked him about freedom. I said, well, what is freedom? He really couldn't tell me what freedom was, but he knew it was worth risking his life for freedom. And I tell you, that's the sort of thing that you that sort of drove home what freedom and democracy really was. The Berliners were great people. The older Berliners in particular loved the Americans, and so we enjoyed being with them. And interesting thing, we'd go over to a restaurant every once in a while in East Berlin for dinner. And every time we'd walk in uniform, there were three fellas there, one on the piano, one on the violin, and forget what the other one was doing, but they'd right away start a big band number from the U.S. and sort of representing, saying, hey, thanks for what you've done. We were fortunate to return to Berlin in 1994 for the final July 4th ceremony because, as you know, the troops left in September, and so we were there to celebrate that last ceremony. It was a great time.
Wow. Well, definitely very interesting, and I agree, wholeheartedly agree. I think a lot of us that did get to go over to the East and spend some time there, dine there, you could tell that even they were very much recognized what we were doing there and what was going on. And definitely for someone to just risk their life to come on over and say it's because of freedom, it does drive things home, and it does put things in perspective. And without a doubt, it reassures us that what we were doing was the right thing.
You're right. Absolutely right.
Yeah. So another thing, another big thing that happened, and yeah, definitely that speech at the Brandenburg Gate, it really kind of set the pace for what happened next, and the wall fell. The mission was accomplished. And where were you when you heard it fell, and what were you doing, and what were your impressions of what happened?
I was in Korea at the time, commanding the 2ID, and I don't recall if I saw it on television right away or I got a call from General Marsh, who was still commanding the Berlin Brigade. You know, he replaced me, and then he called me and said, hey, the wall came down. And I was just shocked, you know, as I hadn't expected it at all. Naturally, I was thrilled because this is something that we had hoped for quite some time. But General Marsh came over and replaced me in the second ID. So he was able to give me a little bit of information about that. But, boy, I'll tell you, then when I watched it on television and saw the joy of all those people, they were able to meet some of their family once again. They were able to come and have freedom and see what we had in West Berlin, which they didn't have in East Berlin, because as you recall, as you went through Checkpoint Charlie, it was just a drastic difference in the buildings, the attitude, just everything. So I'll tell you, I was really, really impressed and really pleased that it happened.
Yeah, that definitely was a very interesting time. I remember I was in Houston at the time, and when I saw it on TV, it was like, wow, we did it. Well, now, 20 years since you left the brigade, and you look back, and what do you see as your major accomplishment or accomplishments while serving in Berlin?
Oh, I'll tell you, David, I think one of the big things was the level of training. You know, I had come from a division where we had gone to the National Training Center all the time, and we were training real, like real life. And when I got to Berlin Brigade, I found out that we were sort of doing things by a script. And so when we went out to Doughboy City, it started the atmosphere of the attitude saying, everything has got to be realistic, rather than scripting anything. And I think this is the way that the soldiers really got to learn that that things happened, sometimes not as they planned, that there were problems that came up that had to be resolved on the ground at the time. And so I think that was one of the greatest things that I felt that I was able to do. And secondly, I think that we were able to set a culture, an atmosphere, an attitude that maintained the high standards that had been set for ever since probably 1945 when we first went into Berlin. And this was so important because the soldiers were our front piece. You know, they were the ones that were showing what is America as they walked down the streets, as they met with the Berliners, whether it was East or West. So I think those were probably two of the things that I really felt most pleased about.
Well, 20 years of, I mean, time flies. It's like, you know, it's been 20 years since I was there too. So it's crazy. But it's like you look back and it's like it's yesterday, but you know, the calendar says different. One thing, if you could tell the veterans of the brigade, and it's not just from your tenure, your time there, but across the board, tell them anything about them and their time in Berlin and the mission, what would it be?
Well, I'd say, I guess they were a great symbol of America and the American soldier. You know, having been there right after the war in 1945 and being there all the time until 1994 when they finally left, they were holding back the Russians. They were upholding the American ideals. They were showing the world, if you will, whoever saw them, what America is. And whether it was during the airlift when we brought in all that those goods or whatever it happens to be, they were the symbol of freedom and democracy. They were strong for 50 years in Berlin. And I believe that they were a great reason that the wall came down. If we had not been there, they couldn't have done it. So I would say that they were super soldiers the whole time, and they represented us very well.
Yeah. One last thing. What is the one thing you do miss about Berlin?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one to say because there's so much there. You know, the city is so pretty. People are just great. And I guess I would have to say the people, because no matter where you go, the people were great. And we've still got some friends over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that's really what everybody says. I speak to my father-in-law. He was stationed in Berlin, mm-hmm. and that's where I met my wife. And same thing. I ask him, you know, what's the one thing you miss about Berlin? And he goes, you know what? It's the people. I asked some buddies, we go deer hunting in November. I asked them, same thing. It's the people. Mm-hmm. And that's really it. So they've really created it and set an impression on us that I guess it's hard for anyone else to emulate.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And when you talk to some of those, if you had the opportunity, some of those that were there when the Russians came in and some of the stories that went on at that time, you know, it's just amazing.
Oh, yes, yes. I don't know if you've read a book. It's called A Woman in Berlin. It's written by Anonymous. It's actually a journal immediately after World War II ended and during that time before the Americans and the Allies came in. Mm-hmm. And it's very eye-opening, you know, firsthand account that you're reading there of what's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely – it's that impression was made. And then, yes, they went through a lot, but it also just shows that they didn't take us for granted either.
Yep.
Any closing remarks, any parting, anything you want to say before we bring this interview here to a closer?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think that you're doing a great job here with the website. I didn't even realize it existed. And now that I see it, I see all this good information. So I want to just extend best wishes to everyone. You know, each year there is a Fall of the Wall celebration at the German Embassy in Washington, D.C. in November. They try to set it as close as they can to when the wall actually came down. And it's put on by members of the Berlin Brigade. It started in some homes, in a garage, and it finally grew so big, so at the 10th anniversary, they went to the German Embassy and said, hey, would you let us hold it here? And they've been great hosts ever since that time. Invitation is open to all members of the brigade to attend if they want to do that. So I'd just like to say once again, thanks to all the soldiers. Thanks to all of you for what you did. And your mark is right there in history, and you are part of history.
Well, without a doubt, the soldiers, definitely. But then again, it also takes that leadership. You know, it takes those people we need to look up to. We, you know, not just that we report to, not just the ones that pass down the word, say you're going to Doughboy or we're on alert or anything. No, it takes that leadership, and it trickles down without a doubt. Definitely trickles down, and it's that attitude from the top down, and it goes back up that again. So no, sir, thank you, and everybody else that followed you and was there before you. It definitely there's some big shoes to fill. Without a doubt, it's a big mission. Now we look at it back, you know, time has gone by, and we really see what the brigade and our mission really was, you know, being there in the middle of it while it's all going on. That's one thing. But when you can step back and say, look, this is the bigger picture. And it definitely takes great leaders to take us to that point. No, sir, definitely thank you.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate those comments. I think my task was to set a culture that we could, that the soldiers then could be empowered, that they could do their job, they could not be fearful of what they were doing, and that's the way we get the greatest job done.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt. Well, I thank you again for being our very first guest here on the Berlin Brigade podcast. We hope you continue to listen as we get future guests on here. And again, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Okay, David. Best wishes to you. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, there you have it, our very special interview with General Jack D. Woodall, the commanding general of the Berlin Brigade from June of 1986 to August of 1987. Hey, I just thought of something. Those change of command ceremonies happen during parade season. Coincidence? I think not. Seriously, a great big thank you to General Woodall for your time and sharing with us your insights about Berlin and the Berlin Brigade, and I want you to know that you are always welcome to join us here on the podcast. Thank you very much, sir. Again, I want to extend an invitation to everyone, to be on the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. Please drop me a note at podcast, P-O-D-C-A-S-T, at BerlinBrigade.com. This invitation is open to anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter who you are and what capacity you served. You are important to all of us, and we want to hear from you. So please drop me a note. The questions I will ask won't be intense, but your answers can be as detailed and as involved as you like. So by all means, remember, this is your opportunity to talk. Well, tell you what, I better bring this podcast to a close. Again, I want to thank General Woodall for taking some time from his Saturday afternoon to spend with us. Already for the next podcast, we have another wonderful guest lined up and look forward to having that individual join us. Future guests are in the works, so it's all for a good time. So until next time, I am your host, Dave Guerra. Thank you for listening. Thank you for visiting. I really do appreciate it, and I hope you have a lot of fun. And until then, you guys take it easy. We'll talk to you later.